The other day, the singer who goes by the name Passenger came by our studios. He was wearing jean shorts and flip-flops, which he quickly kicked off.
I appreciate the bare feet.
Thank millions wouldn't. Thank you.
He picked up his Gibson Hummingbird guitar and started in on the song that became a number one hit in 18 countries.
Well, you only need the light when it's burning low. Only miss the sun when it starts to snow. Only know you love her when you let her go.
The YouTube video for Let Her Go has been seen more than 360 million times. The song became the soundtrack for a Super Bowl beer ad. And the strength of this song vaulted Passenger, whose real name is Mike Rosenberg, from years of busking barefoot on street corners to playing at huge festivals.
Staring at the bottom of your glass, hoping one day you make a dream last. Dreams come slow and go so fast.
Actually, Mike Rosenberg told me he still does busk when he can out on the street, but it's different now. Big crowds, a crew, a professional PA system.
We've had to adapt, but I think it's really important for me to carry on doing it, you know.
Why?
You know, as a kid, that's why you get into it. That's why you learn the guitar and you start writing songs, is because you want to connect with people. You want to express what you're feeling. Once you start doing it for a living, and it can become a lot more convoluted and confusing. And for me, busking just takes it right back to the fundamentals of why I started.
Well, I don't know how and I don't know why, but when something's living where you can't say die, you feel like laughing but you start to cry. I don't know how and I don't know why.
You know, I have to say, I'm so struck talking to you here, Mike, between the difference between how you sound speaking and your singing voice.
Yeah, I take helium before before I go on stage. It's just how it comes out, you know. I've never had singing lessons or really learned how to use my voice. It's just a very natural expression, so.
Yeah. And it's always been that way? Your voice has been, your singing voice has been the same?
It has, yeah. And I think it's one of those voices that people either really, really like or they really don't, you know. I think it's kind of quite a unique voice.
Yeah. Let's take a listen to one of the songs on the new album. It's called 27.
27 years, 27 years old. Only thing I know, the only thing I get told. I gotta sell out if I wanna get sold. Don't want the devil to be taking my soul.
So, Mike, this song is all about sort of wrestling with your place with music and with singing and the industry, right? You're talking about gotta sell out if I wanna get sold. You wrote this 3 years ago, I guess. You're 30 now?
Yep.
It's all about being 27. And this was before Let Her Go became this massive, massive hit.
Yeah.
So what was going on that you were thinking about in this song?
I remember writing this song. I was in a horrible hotel in Glasgow in Scotland. And I was in a bad place, I think, and struggling with my next move. You know, I had a lot of people around me kind of pushing me in certain directions, suggesting that I maybe take a more commercial route or even try out for some sort of reality TV thing.
Oh, really?
You know, and it was just the last thing I ever wanted to do. And that song, for me, it was just reminding myself what I was doing and why I was there.
When you sing in this song about the pressures to sell out, the pressures you were feeling, wouldn't some people look at the Budweiser ad that uses Let Her Go, the puppy and the Clydesdale, and there's your song behind it, and say,
"You
that is selling out, yeah.
Whenever puppies are involved, I don't think it's possible to sell out.
that's your blanket.
And he's becoming a friend with a horse. So I think anybody's got a problem with that advert is heartless.
is an ad that ran, I know you are. This is an ad that ran in the Super Bowl. Huge exposure. Did you struggle with that? Did you think, maybe that's not where I want to be?
I didn't, because I wrote Let Her Go 3 or 4 years ago, backstage at a tiny gig in Australia. It wasn't set up to be a global smash. So it's not like I sold out. I made a song that I loved and I believed in, whether it was Budweiser or not. It was really cool.
When you think back to your days playing in pubs and busking on street corners and really scraping to get by, and comparing it with where you are now, where you're playing big festivals, bigger and bigger venues, lots of people know who you are. Is something lost? I mean, do you miss anything about that? What's the experience now when you're on stage?
You know, when Let It Go got so big, I was kind of worried that it would turn into one of those shows where people just come for one song and then for the rest of the gig, they just go to the bar and chat to their mates. And it just hasn't happened like that. You know, people come down to a Passenger gig and they come for the stories, they come for the songs, they come to listen. And, you know, there was a romance to how I did it before. You know, there was, and some of those gigs were magical. You know, 60 people in a basement of a pub and there'd be something beautiful about it. But equally, you know, you can have these incredible moments with 10,000 people at a festival or whatever. So I think it just changes. And I think you need to adapt with it and you need to go with it and not look back, really.
Talk a bit about the story behind the song, Riding to New York, because you indicate in the album notes that this is based on an actual encounter you had in the middle of the night here in the United States.
It was a really bizarre situation. I've been smoking since I was sort of in my teens, and over the last couple of years I've been trying to give up. Last year when I was in the States on tour, I was in Minneapolis and I was lying in my bed at 3 a.m. just craving a cigarette, and I got up and I walked to the nearest gas station, and there was this one guy on a motorbike, quite an old guy, and smoking cigarettes. I walked past him and he said, "This is the best cigarette I've ever had in my life."
Well, I met him in Minnesota. He was dark and overcast, with long grey hair and eyes that stared through me like I was glass.
And it was such a bizarre thing for him to say. It was almost surreal that the only guy I saw on my entire walk to this gas station was smoking and said such a weird thing. So I ended up having a 10-minute chat with him, and he'd been diagnosed with lung cancer. He was dying. He'd been smoking since he was a kid. And he didn't know how long he had left to live, so he decided to buy this motorbike and ride it from Los Angeles to New York, so through the whole country, and live out the rest of his days in New York with his kids and his grandkids.
'Cause I wanna see my granddaughter one last time. When I hold her close and feel her tiny heartbeat next to mine. Wanna see my son and the man he's become. Tell him I'm sorry for the things I've done. And I'd do it if I had to walk. I'm taking this bike and riding to New York.
And it just kind of put the whole thing into perspective. I didn't buy cigarettes, and I went back to my hotel, and over the next few days I wrote this song, and selfishly it was a massive part of helping me give up smoking, yeah. And I don't think I even got his name, and I certainly didn't get a number for him, because I had no idea that I was going to write this song, but I'd have loved to for him to have heard it, you know.
I'd do it if I had to walk. I'm taking this bike and riding to New York.
The song Riding to New York from the new album Whispers from Passenger. Mike Rosenberg played several songs for us in the studio. You can hear those solo versions at npr.org.